I think we're on.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I can do it. Hey, welcome to We the People Radio. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake, and they can take care of all your tractor needs. Go up and see them, or give them a call, 226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go. Well, what are you doing, Aaron?
Well, Bill, I was trying to log into my computer.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
Apparently the middle finger I was using, my computer was taking offense.
Yes, apparently so.
It could not find my fingerprint.
Huh.
Huh. Yeah, go figure that out. Well, we're going to switch gears. And hey, you know, I should have said it in the first hour, but just in case we replay this at some future time, today is August 14th, 2022. And many thanks to all the rest of you who sponsor the program. We always like to acknowledge you. Many of you do that, you know, quietly in the background. That was Joe Biden right there. Did you like my Joe Biden?
Yeah, that was a great Joe Biden.
Quietly in the background.
Yeah.
you know, it just never stops being funny. So this hour, we are going to chat about the effects of cannabis on people. And for those of you that think that it's no big deal to have, you know, a bunch of dope stores in your town, or be the landlord, or be the owner, or be the consumer of, this ought to give you a little heads up on what you're ushering into your community. It does not lessen the black market at all. That's a 100% lie told by the cartels. About 80% of what's in those stores comes from the black market, so go figure that out. And as far as the regulation and all that, yeah, that's a nice idea, but they really don't. Well, they certainly don't help with the black market, that's for sure, here in the state of California.
Well, when you bring a product like that into your community, I mean, it goes all the way down to your grade schools and everything else. I mean, it's so easy to get now. And
they package it in packages that look like candy. And so I had an email from an emergency room nurse who had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who had overdosed on high potency THC because they thought they were gummy bears. They looked like gummy. He showed me a picture. They looked like gummy bears. They were in a package like gummy bears. And the kids didn't read the fine print that said that it had 60 milligrams of THC.
Learn to read.
And yeah. Yeah, if you can't read and you're eating gummy bears, you're apparently going to overdose. Ridiculous. So while all this is going on, Dr. Stuart Rees is diligently hammering away over there in Australia, where he runs a clinic with special interest in the medical treatment of drug addiction. He's interested in both the underlying pathopsychology of drug addiction, how drugs work on the body and why they're so destructive to long-term health, and also the treatment of drug addiction, including its radical cure. So he has a longstanding interest in cannabis, particularly as it relates to genotoxicity. And he has some groundbreaking research that has just been released in this last, I believe, week. And I really like his letter to the editor in USA Today. It was August 6, 2022, and I posted it on the site here. The final line, if cannabis legalization were an experiment, it would be halted, declared a failure, and found unethical. And then he capped it off with massive commercialization does not reverse the law of gravity. So,
And that's the big thing. It's just the amount of money we're talking about in
the kind of stuff this does
every
to people.
Area so, of our society.
So, Dr. Rees, I don't know where you want to start with this, but we've got approximately 50 minutes to do it in. So, you just take her away there.
Uh oh.
He's trapped in Australia in the cone of silence. Is it because Bill was watching Get Smart this morning? Is that what happened?
No.
Liam, something bad happened?
Something's going on, so give me a little bit
Having
to get it sorted.
Okay. Well, I want to direct you to our website, actually, at wethepeopleradio.us. We have a tab up there that says pot, pretty straightforward. And
hello.
Oh, there he is.
There we go. Dr. Rees, how you doing today?
Hello.
Hi. We can hear you.
Hello.
Oh, but he can't hear
Uh-oh.
Us.
Uh-oh. Can you hear us?
Continues.
Hello. Yep. Dr. Rees, you're coming in loud and clear. Apparently you can't hear us, though.
It's all fun and games until the magic of technology becomes less magic. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning back there in Australia, so whatever time zone you're in, just be annoyed with us here just briefly. So anyway, his article in PubMed, I put up online with a link to the whole thing. He doesn't, this is not somebody who just gives opinion and just chats on. So for,
hello.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Nope. Still can't hear.
But he sounds terrific. Maybe we could send him a smoke signal and tell him to just start talking. Dear Dr. Reese, please just start talking. The Epidemiological Association of Cannabinoid and Drug Exposures in Sociodemographic Factors with Limb Reduction Defects Across the USA, 1989 to 2016. He did a geotemporal spatial study. Try to say that fast. Very, very interesting that what they're coming up with, it's very much like thalidomide was back in 1957. The background reports of major limb defects after prenatal cannabis exposure in animals and of human populations in Hawaii, Europe, and Australia raised the question of whether the increasing use of cannabis in the USA might be spatiotemporally associated with limb reduction rates across the USA. It's not, he's trying to call my cell phone. So you kids talk among yourselves and I'm going to go tell Dr. Reese we can't hear him. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill. Carry that on.
Well,
he hung up. Never mind.
Yeah, I haven't really read the article, but the,
that's like the kid who got caught without bringing his homework.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's call on Bill
first.
Aaron. Oh, you know what? This is brutal because this is a really important topic. And we're trapped. Can't get Australia on the horn. What the heck?
Well, I wonder if we can get him to call in on...
Hello.
Ooh, there he is again.
We can hear you. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Liam, can you send him a little message there? Like a little, what do you call it? Kind of a texting message?
I am. I'm struggling to get a response. So we're going to get this sorted. I think I'm going to, well, I'll just keep you guys in the loop. So.
Okay. That's funny. I don't want to make Liam do a break right now because poor Liam's got enough going on. But, yeah, meanwhile, my cell phone's blowing up. Let's try texting Dr. Reese. How about we do that? Can you text Australia? Oh, we can't hear you again. You know how great is that? You know, radio, they spend all their time, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? It's like a Verizon commercial. So I'm going to read you the conclusion on his paper. Not that the previous stuff wasn't good, but the conclusion's awesome. Looking across the broad vistas of the enormous amount of data presented in this volume, both in the detailed epidemiological analysis and the extensive literature citations, one cannot help but be struck by the enormous concordance between every level of data. And in his paper, he has printed every level of data. It's a very long paper, so you do not have to take his word for it. The present work is designed to provide detailed and extensive data and analysis across the areas of inquiry to complete these substantive gaps in the extent evidence base. The domains examined include mental illness, autism. For all those of you who are interested in autism, cannabis has a big factor there. Teratology, I don't know what that is, but carcinogenicity, I know what that is because we've done shows with them about that. And 49% increase in childhood cancer, they have discovered. Epigenomics and aging, including the overlap between these areas. They're finding like a 30% aging on cells, and apparently it exponentially increases as you chronologically age. So At some point, you know, all those of us that are old now, we're going to look wicked young when all the potheads hit about 35. And
they're going to look 80.
And they look like they're 80. Yeah. That will not be pretty.
Well, you know, that's the same thing that happens with the folks that are doing meth and some of these other harder drugs. You look at them and you think, my God, they look like they're 50 years old and they're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This apparently is hitting them at the cellular level, and what they're finding in his research is that it carries out for four generations. So it isn't like it just affects that one person and you think, well, that person threw their life away. Well, if they reproduce, they threw a bunch of other people's lives away.
Right.
They won't even meet them.
Right. Yeah, they just aren't going to develop, I mean, physically or mentally.
No.
As a result of long-term use. So, yeah, the aging thing was I thought, very interesting that it increases it by 30%. That's a big number. And you can't overlook that. So, yeah, so when we look at bringing more and more of these shops online where people can come into your community and sell it legally, and I realize it is a legal business, it's going to have an impact down the road with our population. And I think we're already seeing that with increase in violence and our kids, especially young kids. I mean, if you
look at the young men that are the school shooters and that kind of thing, there's almost always a cannabis connection.
Right.
Almost always.
Yeah.
And it's very well documented that it causes psychosis and all sorts of other things. That's really not up for grabs. So
no.
This whole business of, well, it's legal, and so who cares if they're contributing to our Board of Supervisors candidates or our whomever, or if we have stores in our town, or if, you know, so-and-so is renting to them or owns a store. This is all just extraordinarily damaging.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
And, hey.
Can you hear us?
He can. Got to be able to hear us.
Yep. I don't think you can hear us yet, Dr. Reese, can you?
Huh.
Nope, still not. Yeah, no, you know, especially when you introduce this into our younger population, I mean, it's already hard enough for young folks to get ahead and get a job and hang on to a job and try to make it on their own. But when you throw this in on top of it, it just makes it much more difficult to cope with day-to-day life. And it's going to have a big impact as this comes online more and more. It's going to have a big impact on our population. It used to be, you know, once a person hit like 50, they were kind of semi difficult to employ.
Now they're a hot commodity because they still remember how to work.
They still know how to work, and they still have a lot of knowledge, and they can get the job done. Where a lot of the younger folks that are involved with this have a hard time. Doing the job.
And then you know, don't even get Dr. Drum started on the driving. The driving is a huge problem.
And we see that every day. You go out on the road and I mean, you see people driving erratically. You see people driving at night with their headlights off. I mean, you never used to see that much of that. And now it's almost a daily occurrence. You see strange things with the way people are driving, and there's no more younger people on the road than there ever has been. I don't think that really has anything to do with it. I think there's something else going on there that is causing all this erratic behavior, and I don't know.
Well, you look at the contamination in the water, the soil, all of that is going into the food supply at some level, and it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to clean up. So not just the illegal chemicals. I mean, I had somebody telling me that all the cartels use organic fertilizers.
Yeah, because they're concerned about the environment.
I was like, okay, 0% of them are using organic fertilizers. That's just hilarious. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You can't prove that by looking at it.
No. And I mean, just look at the death of the wildlife in the area and the lack of wildlife in the area.
It's massive.
Some of these grows. I mean, the deer are gone.
Exposure.
Everything's gone.
So if this is being grown near you, hemp, marijuana, whatever you're going to call it these days, if that's being grown near you, you're actually being affected.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be near it. There was I haven't been able to run this down yet, but there was a guy who said, you know, with all of this stuff happening in the air between the chemicals and the toxins coming off the plants themselves, that the air quality is severely impacted in these areas. So it just never ends. We've got Dr. Reese on the horn here. We'll say hi to him, and then unfortunately, do we have to take a really quick break, or did we already do that at the beginning?
We can take one if we want, or we can do whatever we want.
Let's offer that up to the free enterprise gods, because we ran a few extras.
Yeah.
Okay, because we've tortured everyone now for like 15 minutes. We apologize for the torture. It's not typically what we do. Dr. Reese, we're sorry we got you out of bed so early and then gave you the runaround.
Hi, Aaron. How you doing?
Well, Bill and I have been pretending to be scientists, but I'm sure the complaints have yet to hit the inbox. So please take over and be a much better scientist than we are. Thank God we'd interviewed you before. We were actually fake being you without the fun accent. Yeah, nothing like a little cannabis to make you a little squirrely. So, tell people about your latest. I would say missive, but I think missives are less than 1,000 pages, and your paper was really, really long. It was good. I got to tell you, I cheated and read the conclusion, though. There were a lot of graphs, though.
That was frightening enough.
The graphs were spectacular. I kind of skipped over them.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like the graphs. Yeah, we really like our graphs. They're pretty. A few months ago we showed that limb defects, babies born without arms and legs, was linked to cannabis exposure across the USA, and that was published in a statistical journal. And then just a couple of days ago, we did a similar exercise in Europe. There's very big data sets of birth defects in babies in Europe, and you can link it to cannabis exposure. And guess what? We found the same answer in Europe, that limb defects are also associated with cannabis exposure. And there were several limb defects that we looked at in Europe. The Europeans track more limb defects than does CDC in Atlanta. We looked at limb defects overall, limb reduction defects, kids born with extra fingers and toes, kids born with fingers and toes stuck together, and hip dysplasia. And in each case, we found that all these different kinds of limb defects were linked with cannabis exposure. It's kind of interesting because the first study ever to look at this and find a positive finding was actually found in Hawaii, published in 2007, and it found that fingers joined together and reduction deformity of arms were 22 times higher.
Wow.
than people who'd smoked cannabis during their pregnancy, with confidence intervals up to 65 times. And so now we've confirmed that not only in the American data set, but also in the European data set, which is important because they're the two big data sets in the world, and that's almost like saying, well, this is the global data, and it's all saying it's linked. Now, what's interesting is that, as listeners to this program would know, actually on the same day we also published a big analysis of cardiovascular defects. That is heart defects and defects of the major blood vessels of the heart. And we looked at a dozen defects in the heart and found that they were linked to cannabis exposure as well, which is important because heart defects are the major, the largest group of congenital anomalies. And all of this is called teratology or birth defects or teratogenesis, is quite spectacular with the cannabis analysis, and so now we're confirming in the European data set important results we've previously identified in the American data set, which, as I say, is the majority of available data in the world. There's a couple of things about this which are interesting and fascinating to us. Is while we were doing our work looking at patterns of disease in human populations, which is called epidemiology, another group in North Carolina was going the other way, down into the DNA and into the software which controls the DNA, which is called the epigenome, and looking at little one-carbon marks that are imprinted onto the DNA that control gene expression. And that's called DNA methylation, which is one of the major epigenetic or software control mechanisms of gene expression. And they published very powerful studies looking at the effects of cannabis on gene control across a period of 11 weeks when cannabis users stopped smoking. And they looked at humans and rats and found very similar results in both, which is important because you can obviously do more things in rats than you can with people. And they found extensive modification of the software control systems, the epigenome, through DNA methylation in the cells, the human sperm, and in the rat sperm. So this is obviously transmitted to the next generation. And what's fascinating is that one of the defects which is described in the literature with cannabis is called phocomelia, which is where the hand joins directly to the shoulder or the foot joins directly to the hip without the intervening segments. And as well as the software changes in the epigenome and DNA methylation that I talked about, it's known that cannabis both directly affects and through the epigenome, through the gene software, affects the gene control systems that control body formation generally. Just imagine a weaver is sitting at a loom and weaving a piece of cloth, and he's got the woof and the warp, which go across ways and long ways. Well, it turns out that inside the mother's womb, babies are built in a similar scaffold. There's woofs and warps in three dimensions, which vary over time, so it's four dimensions, which control the formation of the baby. And there are a lot of, they're called morphogen gradients, or areas where high morphogens are high and then they fall to low because you get a source producing the morphogens, which drops, and you get differing gradients across the warp and across the warp and the warp to control where the cells grow and what grows and when it grows. And we know, scientists have showed us that some of the main morphogens involved in limb development are called sonic hedgehogs and fibroblast growth factor and bone morphogenetic proteins. It doesn't really matter much about the names, but the point is there are these morphogens. And the point is that cannabis interferes with morphogen gradients directly and epigenetically and through the genome, through the DNA methylation system that we've talked about, and that was documented in the study published about a year ago from North Carolina. And so therefore it becomes really easy. See, the arm in the human baby forms after about 22 to 24 days of after fertilization, so that any environmental insult, any toxin that strikes at that key period of limb bud development is going to either abort limb development completely or potentially interrupt it for a time, and then just say the cannabis exposure drops in the next few days after that, then the hand can go ahead and form because it's not being interfered with, which explains why you don't get the upper and lower segments of the arm, but the hand is fine, and that's why it's stuck to the shoulder. So all of a sudden, this whole pathway, everything starts to make sense when you put all of this work together. And, of course, the fibroblast growth factor, bone morphogenetic protein, sonic hedgehog, retinoic acid, and other morphogens are the common woofs and warps that control body formation across all organ tissues. And that's why we find these results in the heart and in the gut and in the lung and in the brain and many tissues. So, yeah, so we've learned a lot. When we looked at the link between cannabis and birth defects in the US, we were able to show that it was highly significantly correlated with cannabis legalization. We didn't have the legal status of cannabis in Europe is not as cut and dry as it is in America. It's much more subtle. We didn't have that data to do a similar legal analysis, sort of legal status analysis in Europe. But the overall effect is strongly supported. When you draw the map of Europe and look look at the hot spots where the limb defects are occurring and where the cannabis use is occurring, then there's a lot of overlap. Places like France and Netherlands just really light up like Christmas trees on all of these limb defects where cannabis use is increasing dramatically, and that's where the limb defects are going up.
So is that a direct relation to the increase in use since it was legalized, or does it have something to do with the increased potency of marijuana in the last decade?
Well, cannabis is not legal in France. I think it's a potency thing. It's also a prevalence thing, how many people are smoking. It's also an intensity thing, because the harms of cannabis are not talked about much in the popular press.
Right.
People think it's benign, so they think they can use it all day. So the point is that exposure, both by potency, by prevalence, and by intensity, are all rising together. So the community exposure to this stuff is just on vertical, as it were. And that takes the community suddenly up into the high zone where genotoxic effects become common. And the point about the epigenetic damage, the gene software control damage, which occurs, is that some of it is inheritable from multiple generations. We know it's at least 3 or 4 generations. So it's not just about my rights today. This is about damaging the epigenetic inheritance of the community for the next 3 or 4 generations to come, which is really the next 100 years, which is obviously a very big deal.
Sure.
The other thing about this genotoxicity, genotoxicity is just a devastating feature of cannabis, and it's widely recognized by the industry itself. But it's also this DNA methylation that I'm talking about, we think is probably one of the major causes for aging, because as people get older, it's a story of progressive loss of function. Their genes get turned off, and the DNA methylation actually turns them off. So we think this is the final common pathway for the many effects which cause aging. And it's also linked with cancer as well. We've got several studies looking at cancer, and we published, we chatted about that on this program some months ago. But the point is, the genotoxic effects and the epigenotoxic effects are very widespread, linked with lots of cancers, linked with that. The aging defect, that was again published by another study a couple months ago, which showed a 30% increase in age advance at the age of 30 years. 30% increase in cellular age at the
That's
age
huge.
Of 30 years. And the evidence shows that this increases as time. That's a massive public health. That's completely unsustainable to take the whole community and make it 30% older, which is where this is going in a public health sense, is cannabis rolls out. That's incredible. So these three features, aging, cancer, and birth defects, really place cannabis in the unsustainable public health arena.
Well, and the scary part of it is that the media, by and large, has absolutely locked your information out. I know you've been trying pretty much every possible way to get somebody to cover it. You know, I know you've reached out to the Daily Caller through Tucker Carlson and to Laura Ingraham and some of these guys that will cover things that are a little less maybe popular or whatever you want to call it. But still, nobody has picked it up. So if somebody's listening to this who has some contacts in that world, you should be asking why our media is not telling people this. Because, you know, I hear from, I just was talking to a lady the other day on the phone, and she said, well, I've gotten rid of several of my my regular medications that I take because I find that cannabis really helps. And I'm thinking, that's terrific. She's also, you know, gluten-free and, you know, eats everything organic. And I'm thinking, you know, that aging thing isn't going to work out for you so well later. But they're not being told. People don't know.
No.
They don't know.
No.
Well, the point is that I'm told that this story is a little bit too complex.
Not really.
People to understand, but I don't think it's something. I think
if you're going to have limbless babies, people having psychotic breaks, massive aging, and childhood cancer increases of 49%. How hard was that? Was that 10 seconds it took me to say that? Now, if they want to know exactly, you know, if they want to know all the detail, well, that'll take a while. But you should at least be telling people that.
It's a pattern of severe genotoxicity and neurotoxicity in a multi-generational thing to an extreme extent. And what people don't understand is the relationships in virtually all the assays, looking at this in the laboratory and the test tube, are exponential. As the concentration rises, the effects go up exponentially. And we're seeing that exponentiation reflected in our epidemiological studies. We're seeing that in human populations, which means, as we said a minute ago, the prevalence of cannabis use, the intensity of cannabis use, and the potency of the cannabis which is used are all going up, so that the community is flipping up into that high-dose cannabinoid exposure region where the exponentiation effect is going to cut in. And this is going to look like a switch, and it's exactly what you were saying a minute ago before about driving. We never used to see it. Now, all of a sudden, we see it everywhere, right? So in parts of France, it was in the press a couple of years ago, and they're also seeing it in places in Germany. Oh, my gosh, they said, we're getting 60 times as many babies born without limbs. Who'd have thought? Right now, that's in the northeast of France, where they've got huge fields sown to cannabis. And if you've got vast cannabis farms, obviously it's contaminating the water supply in the local ecosystem. The cows are born without legs. So it's obviously in the food chain, and the human babies are born with that at 60 times. Right. And that figure of 60 times is actually in the confidence interval in the first study which came out from Hawaii. Right across the border, because you're a pretty small place, isn't it? Right across the border in Switzerland, where they don't allow cannabis in the food chain because kids were getting high in the salad dressing 10, 20 years ago, so they banned it. There's no problem. We go from 60 times where they're growing all the cannabis to nothing where cannabis is banned. And they said, it's not confusing. It's really obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not hard to figure out when you have a drastic number change like that where it's not permitted.
And at the end of the day, the only reason there's this massive love affair with this stuff is money.
Yeah.
I mean, the bulk of it is money. And the pharmaceutical industry hasn't gotten a hold of it yet. The laws are still crappy. The cartels are rolling in dough. And yeah, people, you know, you just gotta look around. You look at who's running for office. You look at their donations. Where are they coming from? If it's coming from the cannabis industry, then they're all part and parcel of the exact same thing. There is no differentiation in this because it all brings this right to our door. And okay, so Dr. Reese, you got a 20-something male and a 20-something female have a baby. We know from talking to other people that cannabis use around children, you know, if they're involved in the smoke or they're exposed in the womb, that prevalence of that tendency for addiction is hardwired. So that kid likely grows up and is a cannabis user, marries another one because really, I mean, if you're a pothead, right? Didn't we learn that from Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
you marry another one. So once you start adding the usage onto multi-generational impact along with the genotoxicity, can you even do the math on that? I mean, do the numbers go that high?
It's all very scary and pretty obvious what's happening. The thing is, I was just reading, it's interesting, you know, just a couple of months ago, they called me from London in England, and I gave evidence to the Home Affairs Standing Committee. There's an inquiry on drugs. And there was an very interesting thing going on. I was appearing with a chap in England called Professor David Nutt, who's one of the leading advocates for drug legalization and cannabis legalization in the UK. And there are about a dozen people on the committee, and one of the committee members seemed to be Professor Nutt's friend. And everything I said, this committee member would refer to David Nutt. And what was really interesting, and, you know, they asked us for an open statement, so I talked about genotoxicity and neurotoxicity a little bit the same as I have with you. And then this guy, who seemed to be, like, friends or coordinated, or it was like a dance, right, between this MIDI member and Professor Nutt, steered the conversation away from cannabis. It's like, we don't want to talk about cannabis. Let's talk about psilocybin. So it was a one-hour session with the committee, and I would guess 40, 45 minutes were dedicated to psilocybin, which is pretty irrelevant. It's like the pimple on the pimple on the pimple on the pumpkin sort of thing. But the point is that the feeling I came away with is that the agenda of these two, this sort of dance which they had, you know, going on, was don't let Reese talk about cannabis because we don't want Reese to talk about cannabis.
And the same
sort of thing happened. Remember the show we did a couple of months ago, and we talked about cancer and cannabis and cancer. And interestingly, there's been a letter to the editor that we've been asked to respond to that paper, and we've done that. And it makes a few objections, like Reese has only talked about prostate cancer and ovarian cancer. And Reese's methods are overwhelming and terrifying, and this really makes us scared. But Reese only did prostate and ovarian cancer, and we said, well, actually, no. We've looked at breast cancer. We've published on that, which is common cancer in women. We've looked at all childhood cancer. We've looked at acute lymphatic leukemia, which is common cancer in kids. We've looked at prostate cancer, common cancer in males, and we've also looked at ovarian cancer. And these are reproductive organs and multi-generationally inheritable. And we said, besides, we've got more coming because we do have exhaustive applying these techniques across all the birth defects and all the cancers. And so the exhaustive manuscript running thousands of pages is on its way to publication. So that's all very nice, but the point is that these methods are actually terrifying in their power. And again, the message that comes is don't let Reese talk about this stuff, so about cannabis, because he can't deal with his argument. So, I mean, I think there is a real path forward here. I just heard a very fascinating, I just sent you the link, actually.
Hold that thought, Dr. Reese. Let's take one really quick break, and then we'll roll to the top of the hour. We're here with Dr. Stuart Reese. He is chatting with us from...
From Australia.
Yeah. I mean, his pajamas at 6 o'clock, but he reads all the time, so he probably doesn't even own pajamas. he probably just schedules the sleep and then just writes it in his calendar, but doesn't do it. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Not to put too fine a point on it.
There you go.
But honestly, this is just super evil, all of it is. And the fact that it's not being reported. So Dr. Reese, I think I already know the answer, but if this wasn't about cannabis and you were reporting this about, I don't know, broccoli, don't you think the media would be all over this?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that's quite true. I mean, the bottom line is always the cult following of the weed.
Yeah. the cult following of the weed.
And the amount of money that's involved in this is...
Yeah, broccoli doesn't have a lobby.
No. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest reasons this is being allowed is the money involved. And the money shows up everywhere in every... I mean, whether you want to realize it or not, it shows up in everything from your shoe store to your ranch supply store.
Yeah, how about your tractor supply store or your tractor store where they come in to get their machinery
fixed? It's everywhere, and it's cash, and it helps everybody's bottom line. So let's look the other way.
Yeah, look, I accept that, but you're talking about a deduction.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to choose what you're going to allow to seduce you. If you decide, no, we're not going to accept this, no, we're going to defend our kids, no, this is not okay. I mean, the classic example, because as you would know in America, this is not just about legalizing cannabis. Now it's obviously becoming about legalizing all drugs.
Yep.
I mean, we do a lot of work in my clinic with drug addicted and drug dependent people. You know that. And one of them just went off really badly. The other day was violent, you know, smashing gates and banging doors and banging his head on walls and everything. He just went totally berserker. And all my patients were terrified, and they have all the drug habits. And I said to a lot of them, I said, well, these people want to decriminalize drugs, so this crazy psychotic violent behavior will be going on everywhere. You won't be able to go to the gas station, you won't be able to go to the corner shop and get a thing of milk, a bottle of milk, it won't be safe. And I said, yes, this is drug addict talk. This legalization thing won't work. It's just a disaster. I can't, he's a drug addict. There'd be nothing worse than legal drugs. The people who say that don't actually understand what the nightmare they're actually trying to invoke. And again, you know, I said one of my patients comes from a high cannabis user area in Brisbane, where she said virtually all the kids who are born to mothers who use significant amounts of cannabis are affected neurologically, like ADHD and autism, and they can't learn and they're mentally impaired and all that. And she said widespread cannabis use is a disaster. This is drug addicts talking. So the people who talk about this actually don't understand the horror they're invoking. They're talking about a seduction. But my argument is people have to choose what they're going to be seduced by. I mean, in America, this cannabis legalization didn't happen through the FDA mechanisms and normal regulations for all other drugs. It happened, really, because of a deception at the ballot box. This is a deceptive tactic. Yep. With the PR campaigns at the ballot box, the electorate was deceived and seduced by all the soft, bleeding heart stories, which is a gross misrepresentation of what's really going on. You know, like I said, 30% older, there's nothing cool or sexy or anything about that, and probably 40% at 40 years, 60% at 50 years, and 60% at 60 years. So the effect is just, it's the whole thing is a no-brainer. Any one of these things, the effects on developing brain, the effects on mental illness, violence, as you said, driving, that, you know, cancer, birth defects, multi-generation, all of this is deal breakers. So we have to lie down and accept this seduction. You're talking about the decline of Rome, the fall of Rome. But again, it's based on people not knowing. All you have to do to shatter the silence is shatter the glass ceiling and get the word out. And that's, you know, as you say, why I tried hard with the major news outlet to get through to these guys. You know, these guys who, like Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingram, have a track record of trying to get the truth out about cannabis, because if they understood how you connect the dots, how bad it is. And I think that seeing the whole picture, seeing the aging, birth defects, and cancer together makes it easier to understand just how bad this is and how frightful the long-term implications are. Not harder. I think it's easy to understand that big picture.
No,
so that's why we've tried, because if we can get the truth out and shatter this ignorance, people don't know, then people would say, no, we don't want to be seduced. We don't want to sell our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids to these commercial interests. This is not going to happen on our way. There would be a unanimous vote if we can get the word out. That's why we try so hard in this respect.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when you talk about acceptance and seduction and legalization of cannabis, take a look at Oregon. Oregon has, they legalized commercial marijuana. They legalized hemp. They've decriminalized opioids, and I was up in Medford a couple of weeks ago. Their hemp market up there a year ago or a year and a half ago, it was all the rage. Everybody was planting hemp, and it was going to be this miracle drug or this miracle crop that they were going to use in all these different industries. That market collapsed in a year. They got so many people growing it. The price went away. The cost of growing it went up. The water required to growing it. You go up there now, you don't see these massive hemp fields anymore. You see dilapidated greenhouses. Even the commercial marijuana up there, the legal commercial marijuana, is collapsing. And it's all going back to illegal marijuana because it's heavily taxed, and the people that are using aren't going to go to the local co-op and buy their legal weed because it's too expensive. So they've just generated these huge illegal markets now, and Oregon's a mess. Yeah. I mean, their homeless population is skyrocketed. The drug addiction, it just doesn't work. You can't legalize drugs and think it's going to make your society better. It destroys. So
the same thing happens in many parts of Colorado and in San Francisco. What's happened there is sort of limited to Colorado and San Francisco, at least in the popular understanding, but we also know that drugs are exported, cannabis is exported from Colorado across state borders and also, I'm sure, from California. But as a similar thing happened in Kentucky, they got rates of heart defects, atrial septal defect, which is one of the heart defects, 20 times the rest of the country.
Oh, wow.
And then downstream goes down to Mississippi, and Mississippi rates went up 10 to 15 times the rest of the country. So I can only think that that's due to ecosystem contamination. Obviously, the vast fields of hemp in Kentucky get into the river system there. The Mississippi is the largest river system in the U.S., water tables. And it's affecting Mississippi downstate just by the river because people drink the water. So it's a knock-on effect. That's what I'm saying. It spreads, you know, like in San Francisco, the shrimps in San Francisco Bay and the crustaceans and the shellfish there have detectable cannabis in them. Well, if they've got detectable cannabis in San Francisco Bay in the shellfish, then obviously it's in the rivers. And if it's in the rivers, it's in the water system, it's in the dams, means it's in your milk, it's in the meat, it's in everything.
Yep.
So people's right to choose is taken away. They weren't told that. You know, like there'd be mums in California, there'd be millions of mums, I'm sure, who'd be terrified of taking anything in their body when they're pregnant, but they didn't know it was in their milk or their orange juice because the trees ate the water that's contaminated with cannabis. So you talk about whole ecosystem contamination. So, you know, you're talking about spread geographically beyond the actual places that are doing it, and also in time, multi-generationally. So this is just not on, but I think, you know, the truth would set people free. If people knew, then we'd get the word out, and you know, this thing would stop in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, that you're talking about, like we've discussed many times, that the actual cannabis itself is bad, but you look at the way it's being grown, and I mean, we have millions of plants grown here in Northern California with highly, highly dangerous chemicals. They're illegal. They're a mess. They're not disposed of properly. They're not utilized. I mean, they're not even supposed to be here. So you have that added to the water table, to the food sources, and it's...
Well, then people are ingesting those chemicals when they buy this marijuana from their local collective.
Yeah, spray adhesive and carbofuron and everything.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of stuff in it. And they think that, well, I'm buying it at a store. It must be safe.
Yeah, because it's all regulated.
It's all regulated.
Yeah.
Not.
And anyone who believes that is delusional. So it really is a matter of getting people to take a look at that, getting them to look at the data and get the word out. Because honestly, if you don't live in a place where it's being grown and wrecking your life, or you don't have somebody who's impacted by it directly, it's easy for people to think it has nothing to do with them.
That's right. Doesn't affect me, that I don't smoke it. I don't know anybody that uses it. So it's really not a big deal. It's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And it should be a huge deal for everybody, especially when, you know, if you have kids and your kid goes over to the other kid's house whose parents leave their THC candy laying out and those kids all eat it. Those little kids, 4-year-old and 6-year-old, overdosed on THC. Now, what a great experience for a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old to overdose on drugs. Yeah. And I do not know what happened if CPS and all got involved. I have no idea the rest of the story, but just that one particular thing should be enough to really give people pause. The packaging, I've got to post that. I'll post it online on our pot tab for the site. When you see the packaging, you really have to look in some cases. It looks just like candy. Terrifying. And Dr. Reese, you had told us before, I remember, because you spoke very slowly for me, because I was not getting it. You gave me the remedial version. If it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer. So that's marijuana, that's THC stuff with or without THC, that's hemp, that's CBD, correct?
That's right, yes, yes. We think we've, 20 years ago, it was showed that the genotoxic part of the cannabinoid is the nucleus. It's called a levitol. It's the nucleus. So that, you know, delta-8 THC, delta-11, delta-9, all these ones. The cannabis molecule is a little big. It's about 20 carbon atoms in it. And the delta-8 and delta-11 and delta-10, they just refer to which carbon you're talking about and whether the hydroxyl group goes up or down. So they're just tiny modifications just around the edge. And, I mean, I know a lot of people in America, because there's discussion about all these different isomers in America, get confused by this, but the point is it's the nucleus of the cannabinoid molecule. It's the levitol nucleus, which is genotoxic. So whether it's cannabidiol or cannabichromine or cannabidiol or cannabinol or THC or delta-8 or 9 or 11 or 10, whatever they're talking about this week, those things are irrelevant. The genotoxic moiety is actually the nucleus. So whether it's 8, 9, 10, or 11, or, you know, salad soup or number soup, whatever you want to say, that's not the point. And what we've shown in the lab, we've now confirmed in a lot of epidemiological studies, and we've implicated cannabidiol epidemiologically.
Sure.
We've implicated delta-9, of course.
We hate to cut you off, but the news is going to take us down. We've got to plan another time, and we'll fix our communication problems. We've been on with Dr. Stuart Reese. You can find his information at wethepeopleradio.us on the pot tab, along with a ton of other information, and we expect you to share it. Thank you so much, Dr. Reese. We'll pick another time really soon, because this got bungled. Sorry about that. All right. Back to everybody else.
That's
next
fine.
Week.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Bill.